This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05 at WCHL. We have 70 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today in the upper 80s. Just a slight chance of rain. It's really going to turn cooler starting tomorrow night with the lows dipping down into the 50s. You might have gotten an email recently from Duke Energy warning about scammers targeting the company's customers. Spokeswoman Christina Hill says the scam has been targeting not just Duke Energy customers, but utility companies across the nation for the last several months. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
What we saw with Duke Energy is that the targets really weren't slowing down.
Occasionally, the company may call customers to discuss their account, Hill explained. If it is a legitimate Duke Energy call, a representative will provide information that only the customer and Duke Energy would know. Hill says there are several red flags that customers should guard against.
If you get an unsolicited phone call from an individual who falsely claims to be with Duke Energy, and they threaten immediate service disconnection, usually within 1 hour, that's one red flag.
Hill says Duke Energy customers who have delinquent accounts receive multiple notifications from the company over the course of several weeks prior to power service disconnection. She says it is never just a single notification 1 hour before the disconnection. In some cases, the scammer can manipulate the customer's caller identification or a phone number as the party calling. They will then ask customers to purchase a prepaid debit card to avoid service disconnection. Hill says Duke Energy will never ask customers to settle an account balance through a prepaid debit card. In response to the increasing scamming incidents, Hill says Duke Energy stepped up its campaign in August to educate customers about the issue through radio ads, messages on statements, and email alerts. For more information on how to protect yourself from these scams, you can read this article on our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The town of Chapel Hill's lead land use consultant says a new form-based code could help revitalize parts of Chapel Hill. But some worry it will rob the council and the community of the power to control development in the Ephesus Church Road, Fordham Boulevard area. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt made it clear at a work session last night that he wants to see big changes to the area around the Ephesus-Fordham Boulevard intersection.
We have a underperforming strip mall there. We have intersections that are impossible to navigate. You know, we have these dysfunctions there. And that distinguishes it from just about everywhere else. I mean, other parts of town have their problems, but this has got all of them at once.
Lee Einsweiler is a consultant hired to update the town's land use management ordinance. He says if applied correctly, form-based code has the power to transform parts of town that are currently underutilized.
We're talking about going from an auto-dominated portion of the community to a mixed-use walkable portion of the community with a much more intense development pattern than is there today.
The Ephesus-Fordham area is under consideration for Chapel Hill's first experiment with form-based coding. Using a community-generated small area plan as its base, the council would designate certain parameters like building height, setback from the road, and parking. But beyond that, Einsweiler says approving new developments in the 150-acre area would be an administrative function.
In an ideal world, a form-based code is the result of great small area planning, great tight coding to that small area plan. And therefore, with very prescriptive standards, you can simply have a checklist for approving development.
This would be markedly different from the current rezoning and special use permit approval process, in which the council often bargains with developers to add affordable housing, transit infrastructure, and a host of other concessions. Einsweiler called this the Mother May I approach. But some on the council worried that the new method would come at a cost, as the form-based code does not allow the council to specify density within a development. There's also no mechanism for requiring developers to provide affordable housing, a traffic impact analysis, or energy-efficient technologies. Jim Ward said that would be a loss for the community.
To me, that seems like a loss from what we have now, the exactions that we can now. And the other thing that you also pointed out, that this process doesn't allow us to get an exaction on energy efficiency and on public art. And
right.
So those are important to this community, important to me.
But Einsweiler suggested that the code could provide the predictability developers are looking for. He said it might be enough to change Chapel Hill's reputation for being a tough place to do business. He stressed that the code would not be townwide, as it would only apply to certain areas designated by the council for redevelopment. Further, he said the council could allow the public to give input on design, landscaping, and building materials by participating in review by the Community Design Commission. Though he said there are some specifics yet to be ironed out, Kleinschmidt welcomed the concept as a way to revitalize a major entranceway to Chapel Hill.
There is regulation here. This is not, you know, Wild West, go for it. That's not what's going on with this form-based code idea. There's a lot of code, read rules, that have to be followed if you want to build and develop in this district. It's just, we're going to be, you know, writing them into it, and we're not going to be having three-year conversations about what the abandoned Volvo dealership should be. What we know it shouldn't be is an abandoned Volvo dealership. I mean, it's ridiculous.
The plan to create a form-based code is still in its early stages, with no action from the council planned until next spring. In the meantime, town planners are preparing to launch a process to update the land use codes. Staffers will be accepting public comment and answering questions at a series of events. You can find the full timetable and a list of topics by visiting our website, chapelboro.com. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Town Council decided earlier in the week at its regular Monday meeting to postpone a decision about severing ties with Saratov. That's Chapel Hill's sister city in Russia. The country's anti-gay policies prompted a petition to end the relationship, but the council delayed taking any action to have more time for public input. The petition was proposed by the mayor, Mark Kleinschmidt, and councilmember Lee Storrow last month in response to Russia's growing discrimination and violence against its lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender citizens. Both those leaders are openly gay. Storrow explained that the postponement was not an indication of what the council will ultimately decide, but rather an acknowledgement of the differing opinions surrounding the issue. He added that occasionally a petition that is non-controversial or doesn't have much substance will be taken up immediately by the council.
So Mark and I and the rest of council thought it would be best to schedule a public hearing for later in September or October.
An excerpt from the statement released by Storrow and Kleinschmidt last month said, quoting here, "As openly LGBT politicians, the visuals and news stories coming out of Russia since the enactment of Russia's new anti-lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender law banning homosexual propaganda have been heartbreaking." They added that Chapel Hill currently has no communication with Saratov, and due to the enactment of Russia's anti-LGBTQ policies, they saw no reason to keep their relationship even in name. Storrow said that elected officials in Saratov have not responded to the statement. Some Chapel Hillians, however, have expressed their desire to use the town's relationship to show the importance of tolerance.
And I think that there's a way we can take a stance that includes ending the ties and severing the relationship, or there might be another creative solution we could talk about. And I look forward to getting that input during the public hearing.
Storrow said the nonprofit group Equality NC emailed several cities in our area last month asking them to consider ending relationships with Russian cities following the country's enactment of laws banning so-called homosexual propaganda. Orange County commissioners will hear an update on the search for a site for the Southern Branch Library tonight at a work session. County staffers say only three of the seven locations suggested by Carborough and Orange County officials are actually suitable for the next phase of evaluation. These include a site on Brewer Lane and a future mixed-use development, a site on Fidelity Street next to the Westwood Cemetery, and a site on Hillsborough Street near the Martin Luther King Jr. Park. Commissioners will discuss the next steps in the process, which could include an in-depth analysis of each one of those sites. County officials say it could cost up to $15,000 per location. The board will also review the Orange County Library's strategic plan and review design plans for constructing a public meeting space in Hillsborough's historic Whitted Building. The board meets tonight at 7 o'clock at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. Chapel Hill Carborough City schools face another tough budget cycle for this year and the next, due in part to cuts in funding from the North Carolina General Assembly. That's why Board of Education is thinking carefully about contributing $5,000 to a new organization formed by the State School Boards Association, whose agenda, some have said, could be too political. At last week's Board of Education meeting, member Mike Kelly was the first to speak up in opposition of giving money to the newly formed North Carolina School Boards Association's Acton Center. It was formed as a way to strengthen the local school board's advocacy efforts. In a memo sent to the school system, reps of the Acton Center explained that public education and local board authority was under attack. The memo also clarified that the Action Center will not be endorsing political candidates or establishing a political action committee. James Barrett said that he didn't see a problem with more efforts to advocate for education.
It's the same work and the same lobbying that we already support with our money.
The School Boards Association is a 501c3 organization which has limited funds that can invest advocacy and grassroots engagement. The new Action Center was created as a 501c4 and will be able to generate additional resources for expanded advocacy efforts. Jamesetta Bedford, vice chair of the city school board, said that she believes there's no harm in using public dollars for the public purpose of advocating for public education.
I am a politician. It is my job as a school board member to advocate for children, just like PTAs advocate for children.
Bedford said she wanted more clarification concerning the Action Center's budget and bylaws. Chair Michelle Brownstein agreed, saying that a public conversation was necessary before any action was taken.
I'll just say I would need a whole lot more information to feel comfortable writing a check that certainly had my name on it as the chair.
Brownstein decided to table the donation discussion until after the September 18th District 5 School Boards Association meeting. WCHL News Time, 8:16. How does the governor stand with his own party after a couple of vetoes? That story coming up next on WCHL. Time for traffic and weather together. And traffic brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. An engagement ring or custom piece you've been dreaming of for a long time, Grimble Jewelers is there for you. Go check them out. Berkeley Grimble and the folks at Grimble's, Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler. They're in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road in Chapel Hill, and they're right next door to Whole Foods, Grimble Jewelers. Now, with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. We've been seeing a few delays this morning, some heavy traffic, moderate traffic on 15501. Still might see some delays there. No accidents reported at this time, and things moving fairly smoothly, but as everyone's trying to get out to work, we are seeing a few delays. NC-54 seeing a few delays between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40 as well. So just be on the lookout. Give yourself a couple extra minutes to get to work or wherever you might be going this morning. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, presented by Southern Rail, serving lunch and dinner daily and brunch on the weekends with free parking on either side of the railroad tracks. Southern Rail in the heart of downtown Carborough. It's 72 degrees in Chapel Hill, 71 in Carborough, 71 in Hillsborough, partly sunny, slight chance of showers late in the day, high today about 88. Tonight, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain, low 65, and then tomorrow, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers, high in the middle 80s. And then tomorrow night, things will start to change. Still have a slight chance of rain, but it will really get cooler. Lows tomorrow night in the middle 50s. On Saturday, the high only in the upper 60s. Mostly cloudy skies. Saturday night, low down to 50. And then on Sunday, it'll start to creep back up again. Mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. So some really much cooler weather is on the way for the weekend.
Start your day with Ron Stutz and catch Ed Schultz from noon to 3 here on 97.9 FM WCHL.
It's 8:18 at WCHL. Pat McCrory vetoed two bills in his first session as governor of North Carolina, and with the Republican-controlled legislature, any vetoes were going to be those of his own party.
To have your vetoes overridden by your own party will significantly weaken a governor, I believe, especially when you're talking about your base support of voters, and then also, to an extent, the moderate voters.
That is Orange County Democratic Party Chair Matt Hughes. 13 weeks of protests took place this session, as everybody knows, as the Forward Together movement deemed the rallies Moral Monday. At the weekly events, 924 people were arrested, many of those from right here in Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County, for things such as holding signs inside the legislative building. One might see the vetoes as an attempt by the governor to get some of the Democrats, or at least moderates, on his side. Hughes says if that was his intention, it didn't work.
A lot of people will say, okay, he vetoed these bills, great, but what about all those other bad bills? The Sharia law bill, the restrictions on abortion, the voter ID, the budget. I think a lot of people will say, well, where was he on those? Why did he sign them or allow them to become law?
Governor McCrory held the Charlotte mayor's office for 14 years before being the first Republican governor in North Carolina since James Martin left in 1993. He's just the third Republican in that office since 1901.
I think really what you're seeing is the governor's having a tough time transitioning from being a big city mayor, where you rely on overwhelmingly Democratic city council and a city manager.
Hughes says despite his own party being in control, Governor McCrory could be seen as powerless.
And I think what you're saying is that the governor could at best be seen as leading from behind and at worst as not leading at all.
The 2014 election filing period is February 10th through 28th. Governor McCrory's seat isn't up for another 3 years, but a number of Democrats have already said they were planning to run, including Chapel Hill's Jim Prochman, Durham attorney Ken Spaulding, and possibly Attorney General Roy Cooper. Tonight at the Hargraves Community Center, you're invited to come out for the Good Neighbor Initiative's annual Neighborhood Night Out and Block Party, an event designed to build connections between UNC students and Chapel Hill residents, particularly in neighborhoods near the campus. It's a free event co-sponsored by the Town of Chapel Hill, the University, the Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership, Empowerment Incorporated, and Lux Chapel Hill. Buns and Ben's and Ben and Jerry's will provide food. Also, there will be music, games, kids' activities, and prizes. Aaron Buckenheimer is UNC's Director of Fraternity, Sorority Life, and Community Involvement. He spoke with WCHL's Aaron Keck yesterday about tonight's event. You can hear that interview on our website, chapelboro.com. The Neighborhood Night Out and Block Party is tonight, 5 until 9 p.m., at the Hargraves Community Center, located at 216 North Roberson Street. Usually there are several hundred attendees each year. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by Fitz Lumber and Hardware. I'm Ron Stutz. North Carolina football coach Larry Fedora says he never saw signs of alleged rules violations reported by Sports Illustrated while he was an assistant all those years ago at Oklahoma State. SI reported improper payments to players from boosters and academic fraud within that program from 2000 through 2011. Fedora was the Cowboys' offensive coordinator for a short time under Mike Gundy from 2005 through 2007 before becoming head coach at Southern Mississippi. Coach Fedora, now in his second year in Carolina, called the allegations shocking Wednesday night, but says he does not know if they're true. He says Gundy and administrators made it clear that you were going to do things right there, no doubt. That's a quote. Fedora said he's talked with UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham about the allegations. He also said he expected Oklahoma State officials would be aggressive and transparent with any investigation. The Atlantic Coast Conference has always been fertile ground for tight ends. It still is. The league has produced a lot of NFL stars. North Carolina's Eric Ebron is at the top of the list of a promising crop. Dave Steinbaugh at Maryland and Miami's Clive Walford are part of the group having an impact on the conference. Maryland quarterback C.J. Brown says Steinbaugh is his security blanket and a reliable receiver he always looks to when he's open. Syracuse associate head coach and offensive coordinator George McDonald says the tight end has become a marquee position, no longer reserved just for 250-pound offensive linemen who occasionally catch a pass. The league's rosters and statistics bear that out. And one of North Carolina's most outstanding players is tight end Eric Ebron. Just watch him in action. UNC women's soccer star senior midfielder Crystal Dunn was named the nation's best for her superb play in the field this past week. Crystal Dunn was named Most Valuable Offensive Player of the 2013 Duke Nike Classic, scoring in both Carolina games and leading the Tar Heels to a pair of victories over top-flight teams. They beat number 2-ranked UCLA on Friday night and then turned around and defeated number 9 West Virginia on Sunday afternoon. She was at her best last weekend, helping UNC control possession in both games. In all, Carolina outshot the Bruins 23-6 and the Mountaineers by a whopping 19-3 margin. Crystal Dunn is no stranger to big accolades, having earned the National Player of the Year Award and the ESPY Award for Best Female College Athlete, coming off her inspiring performance in the 2012 NCAA tournament that ended in yet another championship of the Tar Heels. The next chance for Carolina fans to savor Crystal Dunn's magic will be on the road. Tonight, Carolina opens ACC play with a road trip to Blacksburg. They're taking on the Virginia Tech Hokies. You can read the story and follow all the latest in UNC women's soccer on our website, chapelboro.com. WCHL Championship Sports, I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
It wasn't exactly the birthday present Larry Fedora expected. This is our Chansky with Thursday Sports Notebook. Larry Fedora turned 51 Tuesday, the same day the first knucklehead out there put two and two together and got five. Yes, Fedora was at Oklahoma State for a hiccup in his coaching career, so obviously he must know something about all the sordid controversy unearthed this week by Sports Illustrated. Right? Wrong. Maybe some things were going on in Stillwater, and maybe staff members like Fedora and his two UNC assistants, Gunter Brewer and Walt Bell, also there during the infamous window reported, heard about them. But do you have any idea how many stories are floating around out there about coaches? I remember years ago listening to some assistants at Georgia Tech telling the most outrageous story about a young head coach at Indiana named Lee Corso, the same Corso who now puts on those silly mascot heads to pick the winner on ESPN's game day. The stories about Corso were all hearsay, but no one minded passing them around like a bong at a party. But were they true? No question that cheating goes on in college athletics, perhaps more now than ever with the growing sentiment that players should get a piece of the billions they make for their schools. And despite the NCAA's concerted efforts to clean up that cheating, it may be out of control more than ever. Supposedly, some former SEC players were teasing Greg Little last week. You mean you only got 20 grand? How could Les Miles go from Oklahoma State to LSU and win a national championship without a hint of this coming out? Miles neither appears to be a super shark or a brainiac. So if he presided over a program that so blatantly paid players, gave away grades, and used sweet young things as recruiting bait, how is it just coming out in 2013? Fedora seems like a stand-up guy who wants to be a football coach and build winning programs. Like all veteran coaches, I'm sure he's seen it all during his career. Maybe he didn't like what he saw and took the Southern Miss head job. You think he's going to say? Which makes having his name dropped into the middle of this mess for no apparent reason is one hell of a way to celebrate a birthday. This is our chance, Pete. See ya.
Hi, can you tell me how to get to the UPS store?
Hi, can you tell me how to get to the UPS store?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
What are you doing? Are you copying me? Why are you copying me?
Because copying is inexpensive and easy right now at the UPS store. Now through September 21st, you can get color copies for just 29 cents a page at the UPS store. Not to mention all the printing and document services they offer every day.
The UPS store in Chapel Hill at Meadowmont on Fordham Boulevard and at Chapel Hill North.
Meadowmont, Fordham Boulevard, and Chapel Hill North?
Now, don't you start.
Hello, this is Tony Hall, real estate broker at Tony Hall & Associates. When you put your house on the market, it only has one chance to make a good first impression to a prospective buyer. Let Tony Hall & Associates advise you on how best to make that important first impression. Contact us today, 919-933-8500 or TonyHallAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
Are you thinking of remodeling your home? How amazing would it be to have your own personal design consultant from a store that's been voted the best tile resource in the area for 3 years in a row? At Best Tile, you can. The designers at Best Tile Showroom are trained to guide you all the way through the design process. So it's your voice, your taste, and your needs that your personal designer focuses on. Best Tile, local store, global selection. Visit us online at besttile.com to learn more.
At East 54, we have 11, make that 10, condos left. Three, make that two, on the golf side, and seven on the plaza side. So whether you're into the hustle and bustle of the plaza or the birdies and eagles on a spectacular Tom Fazio layout, East 54 is your own personal urban enclave. Retail, restaurants, a sports cafe, and a hotel on the inside, with easy access to even more on the outside. Meadowmont, UNC Wellness, two great groceries, more restaurants, more shopping, miles of paved trails. Add to that a condo with hardwood floors, tile, granite, stainless steel, 10-foot ceilings, glass, and a distinctive urban vibe, and, well, the countdown continues. Learn more at east54.com, because those nine condos, eight, seven, really six, are going fast.
Trust. In the dry cleaning business, trust is what you expect. Hi, this is Brenda Honeycutt. And for more than three decades, our family-owned and operated business has been earning the trust of our loyal customers. I invite you to find out why so many Chapel Hill families trust their everyday and hard-to-handle items with us. Plaza Dry Cleaners on Elliott Road and the Whole Foods Shopping Center. Plaza Dry Cleaners. Improve your image. Come clean with us.
Today is your last chance at a great offer at OurLocalDeal.com from Carolina 1663. It's half off. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner available until midnight. Come on down and enjoy your old Southern favorites with a modern approach. All their items are sourced locally and made in-house. And in addition to the dining room, you can enjoy their wonderful full bar lounge patio seating. Carolina's 1663 opened on June 16th and can't wait to introduce you to their contemporary Southern cuisine. It's half off from Carolina's 1663. It's available until midnight, so make sure you buy it now at ourlocaldeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carboro weather brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, one of just three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. 72 degrees in Chapel Hill, 71 in Carboro. Partly sunny, slight chance of a shower and or thunderstorm in the afternoon. Kind of the usual forecast. High today in the upper 80s. Tonight's low is 65, and then tomorrow is still a slight chance of rain with a high of 85. It'll really start to change tomorrow night. We're going to dip down all the way to the middle 50s. And on Saturday, mostly cloudy, not as warm, with the highs in the upper 60s.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Serious chemical weapons. U.S. and Russian officials want to get to the bottom of this. Correspondent Margaret Brennan.
Secretary Kerry is here in Geneva to have very technical talks over the next 2 to 3 days to test out whether what the Russians are offering on behalf of Syria is what U.S. intelligence actually believes the Syrians have.
And right now,
there's not a lot of trust between the U.S. and Russia, and certainly not a lot of trust that the Assad regime will be forthcoming in disclosing all of their arsenal and all of their munitions.
At the White House, a senior administration official says President Putin has invested his credibility in transferring Assad's chemical weapons to international control and ultimately destroying them. The world will note whether Russia can follow through on that commitment. Vladimir Putin has written an opinion piece that appears in today's New York Times. He says if the U.S. were to make military strikes on Syria, the civil war could spread and more terrorism may result. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
71 degrees, 832 at WCHL. The town's lead land use consultant says a new form-based code could help revitalize parts of Chapel Hill. Some are worried that it might rob the council and the community of the power to control development in the Ephesus Church Road, Fordham Boulevard area, a very congested area. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more on this story.
Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt made it clear at a work session last night that he wants to see big changes to the area around the Ephesus-Fordham Boulevard intersection.
We have a underperforming strip mall there. We have intersections that are impossible to navigate. You know, we have these dysfunctions there. And that distinguishes it from just about everywhere else. I mean, other parts of town have their problems, but this has got all of them at once.
Lee Einsweiler is a consultant hired to update the town's land use management ordinance. He says if applied correctly, form-based code has the power to transform parts of town that are currently underutilized.
We're talking about going from an auto-dominated portion of the community to a mixed-use walkable portion of the community with a much more intense development pattern than is there today.
The Ephesus-Fordham area is under consideration for Chapel Hill's first experiment with form-based coding. Using a community-generated small area plan as its base, the council would designate certain parameters like building height, setback from the road, and parking. But beyond that, Einsweiler says approving new developments in the 150-acre area would be an administrative function.
In an ideal world, a form-based code is the result of great small area planning, great tight coding to that small area plan, and therefore, with very prescriptive standards, you can simply have a checklist for approving development.
This would be markedly different from the current rezoning and special use permit approval process, in which the council often bargains with developers to add affordable housing, transit infrastructure, and a host of other concessions. Einsweiler called this the Mother May I approach. But some on the council worry that the new method would come at a cost, as the form-based code does not allow the council to specify density within a development. There's also no mechanism for requiring developers to provide affordable housing, a traffic impact analysis, or energy-efficient technologies. Jim Ward said that would be a loss for the community.
To me, that seems like a loss from what we have now, the exactions that we can now. And the other thing that you also pointed out, that this process doesn't allow us to get an exaction on energy efficiency and on public art. And
right.
So those are important to this community, important to me.
But Einsweiler suggested that the code could provide the predictability developers are looking for. He said it might be enough to change Chapel Hill's reputation for being a tough place to do business. He stressed that the code would not be townwide, as it would only apply to certain areas designated by the council for redevelopment. Further, he said the council could allow the public to give input on design, landscaping, and building materials by participating in review by the Community Design Commission. Though he said there are some specifics yet to be ironed out, Kleinschmidt welcomed the concept as a way to revitalize a major entranceway to Chapel Hill.
There is regulation here. This is not, you know, Wild West, go for it. That's not what's going on with this form-based code idea. There's a lot of code, read rules, that have to be followed if you want to build and develop in this district. It's just, we're going to be, you know, writing them into it, and we're not going to be having three-year conversations about what the abandoned Volvo dealership should be. What we know it shouldn't be is an abandoned Volvo dealership. I mean, it's ridiculous.
The plan to create a form-based code is still in its early stages, with no action from the council planned until next spring. In the meantime, town planners are preparing to launch a process to update the land use codes. Staffers will be accepting public comment and answering questions at a series of events. You can find the full timetable and a list of topics by visiting our website, chapelboro.com. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Orange County commissioners will hear an update on the search for a site for the Southern Branch Library at a work session tonight. County staffers say only three of the seven locations suggested by Carborough and Orange County officials are suitable for the next phase of evaluation. These include a site on Brewer Lane in a future mixed-use development, a site on Fidelity Street next to the Westwood Cemetery, and a site on Hillsborough Street near the Martin Luther King Jr. Park. Commissioners will discuss the next steps in the process, which could include an in-depth analysis of each site. County officials say that would cost up to $15,000 per location. The board will also review the Orange County Library's strategic plan and review design plans for constructing a public meeting space in Hillsborough's historic Whitted Building. The board will meet tonight, 7 o'clock, at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road here in Chapel Hill. Well, tonight at the Hargraves Community Center, you're invited to come out for the Good Neighbor Initiative's annual Neighborhood Night Out and Block Party, an event designed to build connections between UNC students and Chapel Hill residents, particularly in neighborhoods near campus where a lot of students live. It's a free event co-sponsored by the Town of Chapel Hill, the University, the Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership, Empowerment Incorporated, and Lux Chapel Hill. There will be food there, also music, games, kids' activities, prizes. Aaron Bockenheimer is UNC's Director of Fraternity and Sorority Life and Community Involvement. He spoke with WCHL's Aaron Keck about tonight's event yesterday on the WCHL Afternoon News. You can hear that full interview by viewing the story on our website at chapelboro.com. Neighborhood Night Out Block Party is today from 5 until 9 p.m. at the Hargraves Community Center at 216 North Roberson Street. Bockenheimer says the block party usually draws several hundred attendees each year. Coming up next on WCHL, we're going to tell you about Retro Rock for Reproductive Rights. It is a special 40th anniversary event for the benefit of IPASS. That is on the way next on WCHL. And Walt Mack is back. He says in today's commentary, you better think twice before you tweet, especially if you're a UNC student-athlete. All of that straight ahead.
Now is your chance to live the life of luxury at holiday time. Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn, and this holiday season, you, your family, and friends can stay at the world-famous Carolina Inn with rates starting at just $109. The Carolina Inn is a tradition like no other, and now better than ever after being fully renovated. We invite you to enjoy afternoon tea, unprecedented service, and our award-winning restaurant, all at our best rates of the year. Book now at CarolinaInn.com and spend the holidays at the Carolina Inn.
Hi, this is Betsy Bertram from Townsend Bertram & Company, Carborough's premier locally owned adventure outfitters. We want to thank the community by inviting you to join us for our 25th anniversary celebration this Saturday, September 14th from 4 to 8. Bring the entire family as we'll have activities for all, including a climbing wall for kids and adults, and live performances from two awesome local bands, the Air Mountaineers and Kairova.
And the band is that good old Carolina plan.
We'll be raffling away premium gear, including jackets from Patagonia and Arc'teryx and shoes from Keen, Merrill, and Anu, as well as gift certificates from other local businesses. We will be serving veggie burgers hot off the grill, and in our outdoor beer garden, we will be pouring TB&C Adventure Ale, specially crafted by our neighbors at Steel String Brewery. The party is from 4 to 8 this Saturday in front of our shop, located in historic Carmel. Visit facebook.com/TownsendBertram for more details. See you Saturday.
Attention Carolina fans, Fitch Lumber and Hardware is a whole lot more than just wood and nuts and bolts. Whether you're building your dream home, adding on, or just maintaining what you've got, we can help lead you in the right direction. Doors, windows, siding, roofing, paint, you name it, we can help you with it. And don't forget about our key and lock services and our custom millwork shop. So stop by Fitch Lumber and Hardware in downtown Carrboro or check us out online at fitchlumber.com. Go Tar Heels!
Like a true diner, we try to give you a warm and wonderful experience. Elmo's is where the staff learns your name and stops by your table to say hello. When your family comes to town, you bring them to Elmo's. It's not the fanciest place, you say, but this is our place. This is where we eat. We serve homemade food and breakfast all the time. We have comfy booths as well as tables and lots of high chairs and boosters for the little ones. We're a gathering place where locals see old friends and visitors make new ones. We're a community restaurant, a local favorite that strives to be a good neighbor and give back.
Chapel Hill is where economic development is Commerce Plus. And now you can keep up and join the conversation on Twitter by searching for hashtag Commerce Plus. You'll find your neighbors and town staff talking and sharing about economic development, trends, local news, and much more. Be inspired, be educated, be in the know. Follow us on Twitter at CHEconDEV or search hashtag Commerce Plus. To find out more, visit opentobusiness.biz.
Good morning. It is 8:41 at WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz, and we have special guests in the studio. Anu Kumar, Executive Vice President of IPASS. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a while since you've been here, and I wonder if you might take just a moment before you tell us about this really special event you have coming up to explain to folks who might not know what is IPASS.
Sure. IPASS is an international organization. It's a non-governmental organization. We're based right here in Chapel Hill. And our mission is dedicated to reducing deaths and injuries from unsafe abortion around the world. So mm-hmm. We're a global health organization based here in Chapel Hill and serving women all over the world.
And you have something coming up really special called Retro Rock for Reproductive Rights. It's happening this Saturday. Tell us about this.
It's our 40th anniversary. So IPASS was founded in 1973, which was a pretty momentous year in American reproductive rights history, because that was the year that Roe v. Wade was also decided. And so we are celebrating our 40th anniversary and the 40th anniversary of Roe with our partners here in the local area, Carolina Abortion Fund, Lillian's List, Planned Parenthood of Central North Carolina, and NARAL, Pro-Choice America, to celebrate these 40 years of IPASS and Roe by holding a special concert in Durham on this Saturday. Mm-hmm. Retro Rock for Reproductive Rights. We're going back to the 70s, Ron. I'm sure you're gonna like that.
I have to get out my disco suit.
That's right. Indeed, you should. There will be a costume contest, and there will be prizes given for best 70s costumes. So we'll have prizes from The Lantern, from Motorco, from Townsend Bertram. Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to really celebrating our 40 years and really remembering a time in American history when women's reproductive rights was important and something that we were moving forward on.
Well, it's important now. It could be argued that this summer has been an incredibly busy time for IPASS and for anyone fighting for women's rights because of what's happened with the North Carolina General Assembly.
Yes. Yeah, we've seen some of the most regressive policies and laws enacted by the state legislature. And from IPASS's perspective, as a global organization, it's really distressing because some of the laws that we see that are being passed for the women of North Carolina are quite similar to the laws that we see in the developing world. So, you know, we really have to ask ourselves what kind of country, what kind of people we want to be. You know, do we wish to promote and actively support women's rights and women's ability to participate in society or not?
There were a lot of people who were at Moral Monday protests in Raleigh all summer long talking about women's rights. And, you know, there were other things, of course, other focuses, education and everything else. But women's rights is something that not just women should be fighting for, but everybody. And we thank you for coming in and thank you for doing what you're doing. How can folks find out more about the event on Saturday night and also about your organization as a whole?
So I welcome people to come to our website, www.ipas.org. All kinds of information is there, including information about our event on Saturday at Motor Co. at 8 o'clock, and more information on IPAS and the work we do around the world.
Final question for you. How are you going to dress on Saturday night?
I haven't gotten that far.
I mean, you know, I was around back in the 70s, and really not sure you were, but at any rate, are you planning on getting into the spirit?
I'll have to see about that. I think my children could be slightly horrified.
Don't let them see it. Anu Kumar, Executive Vice President of IPAS, and again, IPAS stands for...
IPAS does not stand for anything. It's a word.
Okay.
IPAS, just a word.
Okay, but you fight for, it is an organization that is for...
women's reproductive rights and health around the world.
Cool. All right. IPAS. Look it up in the dictionary, I guess. It's 8:45 at WCHL, and now we're going to hear what Walt Mack has to say about tweeting.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators. This is Walt Mack. Oh, how tweet it is. That's tweet, as in Twitter. Tweeting can be fun, but it can also be hazardous to your health as well as to your well-being, according to a recent study. It's so easy to voice our dissatisfaction with a tweet, and that could get us into hot water. UNC student athletes, it seems, are particularly vulnerable or even addicted to it. Among those who have been eavesdropped tweeting is PJ Hairston, UNC's trouble-prone guard on the men's basketball team. Hairston, whose need for speed has caused him run-ins with the law, has a passion for tweeting. Responding to his arrests, Hairston tweeted, "Bad things do happen. How I respond to them defines my character and the quality of my life," unquote. The Daily Tar Heel student newspaper reports verbatim all the tweets of UNC athletes, men and women, on its website. It's called Hark the Tweets. And the Daily Tar Heel encourages its readers to report any student-athlete tweets. The reason? Tweeting is a major source of big stories. A poll of those using social media found more than half of those surveyed said they at times regretted what they had posted on Facebook or Twitter. And half of those have said their lives had suffered as a result of negative tweeting. Most commonly, those who have experienced unpleasant feedback from social media said their confidence fell after comparing their own achievements to those of friends online. Two-thirds said they found it hard to relax completely or to sleep after spending time on the social media sites. And one-quarter of those polled said they had been faced with difficulties in their relationships with their friends and acquaintances after being confrontational. The best advice: think twice before tweeting. This is Walt Mack. Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
I could not be more proud of my ring, honestly.
That's Haley Best, Miss North Carolina 2011, talking about her engagement ring from Diamonds Direct Crabtree.
Every single time I show my ring to a friend or a stranger, their next question is, "What does your fiancé do for a living?" And my answer is, "He shops at Diamonds Direct," because that's all I can say. That's the only way I can explain it.
Fiancé Andrew Jernigan agrees. After dozens of stores and hundreds of diamonds, Diamonds Direct was the obvious choice for his beauty queen.
Selection like no one's ever seen. You feel like you walked into King Solomon's mines. There are diamonds everywhere. No one could offer me a value remotely close to Diamonds Direct, and that is literally comparing in-store, online, across the entire United States.
Diamonds Direct Crabtree.
You'd have to see Haley's ring to believe it. You'd say, "Oh my God, where did you get this?" Well, we can tell you where we got it. We got it at Diamonds Direct, and never felt better about any purchase I've made.
Best decision we ever made.
Without a doubt.
On Glenwood, outside Crabtree Valley Mall, across from Fleming's, official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Hi, can you tell me how to get to the UPS store?
Hi, can you tell me how to get to the UPS store?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
What are you doing?
Are you copying me?
Why are you copying me?
Because copying is inexpensive and easy right now at the UPS store. Now through September 21st, you can get color copies for just 29 cents a page at the UPS store. Not to mention all the printing and document services they offer every day.
The UPS store at Chapel Hill North, Fordham Boulevard, and Meadowmont. Chapel Hill North, Fordham Boulevard, and Meadowmont.
Now don't you start.
Tailgate season is back,
and Great Outdoor Provision Company is ready to kick it off right. Stop by to pick up one of our new Yeti coolers with UV-resistant technology and heavy insulation. And don't forget about Costa Del Mar sunglasses for game days and Patagonia better sweaters because cold weather is on the way. Great Outdoor Provision Company, located at Eastgate Shopping Center. Like us on Facebook and find out more about featured products at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
Morning, it is 8:50 at WCHL. Time now for traffic and weather together. Our traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Serving the best tasting fountain drinks in town. Made with 100% filtered water. Served at 34 degrees with that great chewy ice. Guaranteed to taste great. Only 79 cents, no matter what the size. Cruisers, good to go. Traffic has been moving along fairly smoothly this morning. Some of the usual delays out on I-40 and around town, but nothing really out of the ordinary. No major accidents to report, anything like that. If any time during the day you spot something we're not reporting, call us in the newsroom, 919-967-8363, or you can also tweet us at WCHL. Please do it safely, and you can become a WCHL Road Warrior. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, presented by Carborough's locally owned adventure outfitters, Townsend Bertram and Company, celebrating its 25th anniversary this Saturday from 4 until 8 p.m. It all happens at Carmel Mall. This free event will have live music, activities for kids, an outdoor beer garden, and so much more. There's fun for the whole family at Townsend Bertram and Company this Saturday. It's 72 degrees in Chapel Hill, 71 in Carborough, 71 also in Hillsboro this morning. Partly sunny skies today, kind of the usual forecast. Slight chance of rain later in the afternoon. High today in the upper 80s. Tonight mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain with a low down to 65. And then tomorrow we're looking at partly sunny skies, 20% chance of showers, high 85. Tomorrow night, a little bit of a different story. Cooler tomorrow night with the lows in the middle 50s. On Saturday, mostly cloudy, not anywhere close to being as warm as it is now. Highs in the upper 60s on Saturday, that's it. And Saturday night, we'll go all the way down to 50. On Sunday, it's going to start to warm up again, but a cooling trend is definitely on the way. You remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? Rather unusual word? Call me right now, 919-929-WCHL. If you remember the word, if you can spell it, and if you can define it. 919-929-WCHL. You can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers if you are our winner.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Sydney Sims is Operations Manager at the Seymour Senior Center in Chapel Hill. She was nominated for Hometown Hero recognition by Myra Austin. What makes Sydney Sims so special?
Sydney Sims is special because she is a team player. She helps the Seymour Center run smoothly. She's a creative person. She's developed over 100 programs over the course of the last year for the older adults of Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County. She's got a lot of spirit and just a pleasant person to be around.
Sydney goes way beyond the call of duty. She loves older citizens, and she loves to get creative.
Yep, she spends a lot of her time working on travel programs. She organizes trips both domestically and internationally, and she puts a lot into the planning and the location and the event. Particularly when there is a domestic trip, it's a little more room for a little more creativity sometimes, and the places that they go and the things they do, like there might be a mystery trip or, you know, some exciting feature where she doesn't actually disclose all of that in the details, and it adds to the fun part of the trip.
She loves to get creative, doesn't she?
Yes.
How long has she been there at the Senior Center, and what led her to do that kind of work in the first place?
Sid has always had a love for older adults from the time she graduated from her college career and worked with older adults in one capacity or the other. She's actually been with the Orange County Department on Aging and, of course, formerly at the Chapel Hill Senior Center and now the Seymour Center since early in 2001, so almost 13 years.
I know that the Seymour Senior Center is having a very special event, Food Truck Rodeo, and Sydney is coordinating all this.
It will be our first ever Food Truck Rodeo at the Seymour Center. We have 5 to 7 different vendors, a good variety for folks. We'll have the food trucks on our property, and we've got designated parking, and it's for the entire community. It's not just for older adults. And, of course, the food costs will range between $5 and $10, and we invite the community to come out. October the 10th starts at 4:30. So we're looking forward to an exciting new event for the Seymour Center and the Chapel Hill Orange County community.
Our thanks to Myra Austin and congratulations, Sydney Sims, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Congratulations, Jeff Hart. The word of the day from Wayne Pond is Sudandry. P-S-E-U-D-A-N-D-R-Y. Sudandry, the use of a male name as a pseudonym by a woman. It's often seen in writing, people who write novels, romance novels, that sort of thing. Jeff Hart gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers, and Cruisers, you're good to go. The word of the day always brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Wayne Pond will have another word for you bright and early tomorrow at about 10 minutes until 8 o'clock.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
I'm Mark Vitale. I'm the owner of All About Insurance, one of Nationwide's largest insurance agencies. Very proud to be the leader of that operation. So I was raised a little different. My dad raised me that work was the essence of everything. Even though I'm a workaholic, I believe that you need to have time to shut it off. And you need to be able to enjoy your family, your spouse, whoever it may be. And it's so important because if you get wrapped up in the everyday work, 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 this has got to be done. People suffer that are part of your family. People that are workaholics get so intensely involved that they forget that balance of life is the most important thing. Fortunately, we're able to travel all over the world. I love to go in and watch. I ask questions about how they run their businesses. How do they run their lives? How do they run their families? Because reality is this. You can be the best business person in the world or the best employee in the world. And if it's all you do and you forget your family, you haven't done anything. So you can call in Chapel Hill at 919-933-4000 or stop in at Nationwide Square at 1289 North Fordham Boulevard, or you could check us out at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insights.
I could not be more proud of my ring, honestly.
Vitale Vest, Miss North Carolina 2011, talking about her engagement ring from Diamonds Direct Crabtree.
Every single time I show my ring to a friend or a stranger, their next question is, what does your fiancé do for a living? And my answer is, he shops at Diamonds Direct, because that's all I can say. That's the only way I can explain it.
Fiancé Andrew Jernigan agrees. After dozens of stores and hundreds of diamonds, Diamonds Direct was the obvious choice for his beauty queen.
Selection like no one's ever seen. You feel like you walked into King Solomon's mines. There are diamonds everywhere. No one could offer me a value remotely close to Diamonds Direct, and that is literally comparing in-store, online, across the entire United States.
Diamonds Direct Crabtree.
You'd have to see Haley's ring to believe it. You'd say, oh my God, where did you get this? Well, we can tell you where we got it. We got it at Diamonds Direct, and never felt better about any purchase I've made.
Best decision we ever made.
Without a doubt.
On Glenwood, outside Crabtree Valley Mall, across from Fleming's, official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Today is your last chance at a great offer at OurLocalDeal.com from Carolina 1663. It's half off. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner available until midnight. Come on down and enjoy your old Southern favorites with a modern approach. All their items are sourced locally and made in-house. And in addition to the dining room, you can enjoy their wonderful full bar lounge and patio seating. Carolina 1663 opened on June 16th and can't wait to introduce you to their contemporary Southern cuisine. It's half off from Carolina 1663. It's available until midnight, so make sure you buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
This is Roy Williams, and thanks, Ron Stutz. You've done a great job of waking everybody up in Chapel Hill and Carrboro for 35 years. After you wake them up, you've probably put them to sleep again, but congratulations.
Your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you by Southern Season. Stop by for delicious food and great wine during their September Food and Wine Festival with gourmet food samples, wine tastings, live music, and other great in-store events at University Mall in Chapel Hill or online at southernseason.com. 73 degrees. Partly sunny today. Slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon. Hot day in the upper 80s. Kind of your typical summertime forecast. Low tonight in the middle 60s. Still a slight chance of rain all the way through tomorrow with a high in the middle 80s. Tomorrow night, we're going to go all the way down into the middle 50s. And on Saturday night, our low temperature will hit 50.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station.
It's 9 o'clock.
And now, CBS News, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development, where commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship equals